The Adventure of the Gloria Scott by Arthur Conan Doyle. Arthur Conan Doyle, 1859 to 1930, loved the sea. At the age of 20, after completing the third year of his medical studies, he signed on as a ship surgeon on the Greenland whaler Hope. His duties as a doctor were undemanding, and he had the time to try his hand at whaling, becoming so proficient that the captain offered him handsome terms if he would act as doctor and harpoonist on the ship's next voyage. Doyle declined, but after graduating, he served as ship's surgeon on board the SS Mayumba, travelling to the coast of West Africa. In later life, he remained an enthusiastic sailor, and even played cricket on the deck of the RMS Donator Castle. The sea plays a recurrent part in Doyle's fiction. The Adventure of the Gloria Scott, a striking example, was first published in the Strand magazine in April 1893. The story recounts Sherlock Holmes's very first case, and together with the Musgrave ritual, is the major source of information for Holmesians about the consulting detective's early life. Victor Trevor, a central character in the story, is one of only three people in the canon whom Holmes acknowledged as his friend. They met at college, and Holmes's failure to identify that college has fueled endless speculation as to where he studied. "I have some papers here," said my friend Sherlock Holmes, as we sat one winter's night on either side of the fire, "which I really think, Watson, it would be worth your while to glance over. These are the documents in the extraordinary case of the Gloria Scott, and this is the message which struck Justice of the Peace Trevor dead with horror when he read it." He had picked from a drawer a little tarnished cylinder, and undoing the tape, he handed me a short note scrawled upon a half sheet of slate-grey paper. "The supply of game for London is going steadily up," it ran. "Headkeeper Hudson, we believe, has been now told to receive all orders for fly paper and for preservation of your hen pheasant's life." As I glanced up from reading this enigmatic message, I saw Holmes chuckling at the expression upon my face. "You look a little bewildered," said he. "I cannot see how such a message as this could inspire horror. It seems to me to be rather grotesque than otherwise." "Very likely. Yet the fact remains that the reader, who was a fine, robust old man, was knocked clean down by it, as if it had been the butt-end of a pistol." "You arouse my curiosity," said I. "But why did you say just now that there were very particular reasons why I should study this case?" "Because it was the first in which I was ever engaged." I'd often endeavoured to elicit from my companion what at first turned his mind in the direction of criminal research, but I'd never caught him before in a communicative humour. Now he sat forward in his armchair and spread out the documents upon his knees. Then he lit his pipe and sat for some time smoking and turning them over. "You never heard me talk of Victor Trevor?" he asked. "He was the only friend I made during the 2 years that I was at college. I was never a very sociable fellow, Watson, always rather fond of moping in my rooms and working out my own little methods of thought, so that I never mixed much with the men of my year. Bar fencing and boxing, I had few athletic tastes, and then my line of study was quite distinct from that of the other fellows, so that we had no points of contact at all. Trevor was the only man I knew, and that only through the accident of his bull terrier freezing onto my ankle one morning as I went down to chapel. It was a prosaic way of forming a friendship, but it was effective. I was laid by the heels for 10 days, and Trevor..."